episode 221. It's the first episode of the new year, 2022, coming at you. We got a lot of gaming news to get into today. We hope that Mike liked that intro more than all the other ones, because he proceeded to wait until the end of the year to bitch that he didn't like any of them. So, Mike, shout out to you. Mike still has not returned to his return to work papers with HR yet, so he's not here yet. He's a little under the weather, you know. Of course, this is your source for gaming, sports, anime news. This is Amalgamation Nation, the AM Nation pod. I am the anime watching, booze cruising, Olivia Munzlik, and John Cena's bestie, hostess with the mostest himself, Ryan Green Machine Ebner. Reminder, you can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at AmNationPod and on TikTok at AmNationPod. Give the TikTok some love. That would be really appreciative. I literally was driving home one day listening to another podcast, and they were talking about TikToks, and I was like, you know what? We should do a TikTok too. Fuck it. So there we are. We also now have a TikTok. And, you know, and honestly, all stems to the very first video on there. I know I sent it to everybody. Is when someone did, they have like one of the filters, and it's the Doctor Strange opening the portals, right? And this dude opened the portal, and it's Mia Khalifa. I know you all know who that is. Bunch of degenerates. And I'm like sitting there. I'm like, dude, it'd be so funny if you opened the portal and it was big titty goth lady from Resident Evil. I'm like, I thought Resident Evil Village. I thought that'd be so funny. And I was like, oh, dude, I should just do that. Let's do it on the podcast account. And then it was pretty funny. I enjoyed that very much. You can also find the show on podcast platforms, of course, just like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you are listening on Spotify, I've got two things for you. If you want to help support the show with your wallet, you can subscribe to the show for $5 a month. Help support the show. We appreciate that very, very much. We will trickle in extra content as well as we get more subscribers in and what people want to see. We will give them some extra content. That's all cool, fine, and dandy. And if you don't have any money to toss our way, that is completely okay. You just give us a 5-star rating on Spotify. Spotify just started the rating system. Give us 5 stars. It helps for the podcast to appear on different lists, especially on the like rankings list and stuff like that, and podcasts to listen to lists and shit like that. So go ahead and give us 5 stars on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. We appreciate it. Also, if you want to support the show, completely free to you. If you're playing, maybe you're playing Fortnite, maybe you're playing Rocket League, or maybe you're just on the Epic Game Store grabbing whatever games come out, including Final Fantasy and others, go on there, type the creator code AMNationPod. Every bit you spend on V-Bucks and stuff, just a little bit, comes back to us, free to you. So we appreciate that as well. And then, of course, go download the GG app. It's the best way to keep track of all your video games. There's so many games coming out this year. We already have a plethora of them to get into today that are going to be coming out in January. It's absolutely insane. Keep track of your list this way of games you want to play, games you have played, all that good stuff. You can find us on there. We're AM Nation Pod. You can check out our list and our reviews as well. Twitch.tv/UndeadBlackBull. That's how you follow David on Twitch and give him a sub as well. If you have Amazon Prime, you get a free Twitch sub a month, so give it to Undead Blackbull. Yesterday afternoon, morning, I don't know my days. I was talking to David, and he was working on all the transitions and stuff, so he's getting real close. He got all his stuff back from his guy, I believe, so he's real close to be able to stream again, which is pretty great, which is gonna be awesome. So make sure you do that, because then we can do the podcast on there too, so that'll be really cool too. Joining me this evening, or today, from North Carolina, your AM Nation 2021 fantasy football champion, Brendan BK Kennerly. BK, it's been a while. How was your holiday break? How are you?
It was a good holiday break. I got to actually see like my parents, and then my pregnant sister. They all came down to the house, and my sister hadn't been to the house yet since my wife and I moved in. So it was cool. It was good to see them. Got in some good video game time there. Which is good to kind of get that in, have like a little break, because now I have a bunch of house projects coming up like that I'm gonna have to do every weekend. And so that's part of the reason why we didn't record yesterday, is because like I was trying to get a lot of stuff.
Didn't have to going. Twist my arm to make me be like, you know, I'm good. You know what? I'm good. Actually, I think I'm gonna go lay down. I don't worry.
I was, you know, just home improvement projects aren't fun, but we got plans that, you know, stuff we want to do with the house and all that stuff going forward. So, and because it's, and I had some stuff to do outside, like install a new screen door, install a new storm door. I want to do that when it's warmer outside. So I have to like do that in the afternoon. Can't do that at night, because I'm not doing that at night outside in the dark when it's colder. So it's just like stuff has to be done usually in the morning or afternoon and not waiting to get it done. Yeah. So I do apologize to everyone about that. But back to the games here. Played Guardians of the Galaxy. Super, super enjoyed that game. It was just really nice to have a story-driven game that's it's linear. Like it reminded me a lot of the Uncharted games where it's just like, all right, this is what you got, and you kind of go forward. And I thought not playing as the other members of Guardians of the Galaxy, because people don't know, you really just play as a Star-Lord, Peter Quill there. You're mainly just playing as him, but then you have special combos kind of with the other Guardians, Gamora, Drax, Rocket, and Groot. And I thought that might be a deterrence. But no, the game actually felt really smooth. It controlled really well. It felt great. This felt different than the MCU Guardians of the Galaxy, and they kind of like set that up as well, like right on, like from the get-go of how the characters, like they still like have similar personalities, but like the backstories have changed, the history is different.
Now I remember, so when we watched this reveal of this game, right, it was you, me, Junior, Mike, and I believe David, I think even Dan, I think we were all on watching it. And
right.
The biggest thing Mike would kind of mess with him was because they weren't the MCU characters. But you're saying for you, that was actually, you enjoyed that part of it.
Yeah, no, it wasn't bad, because it was like something different. Because I almost, at least for me, and you know, other people may feel differently, and that's okay. Yeah. That if it was just like the MCU characters, that it almost would have felt like a retread of like the movies to a certain degree, but this was kind of a different, its own self-contained story and all this good stuff. And I really enjoyed it more than I thought I would. Like I got it because I had a bunch of Best Buy bucks that I had to use for the end of the year, and so then it was on sale, so I think I got it for like 20 or 30 bucks, and it was, well, essentially it was free. So it was really enjoyable. And then and I will say, I did vote for that in my game of the year. I won't tell you the place, because we're going to talk about the game of the year stuff here later. Just teasing. That's good podcast.
That's a good tease. Good little tease.
Yeah. Just flicking the shaft a little bit.
Oh, like, Jesus. Just
rushing the blood there real quick. Trying to get the soldier at attention.
Oh.
I've also been playing Danganronpa, Trigger. Happy Havoc. This game's a lot of fun. I've always wanted to play these games just because of the whole like murder mystery aspect of them. They always seemed right up my alley. And then they came out with this little remastered trilogy on the Switch, and it sold out so quickly, all the like physical editions. And so then I eventually had to like splurge for the collector's edition, which I think it was like $100. But for three games, at the end of the day, it's not that bad. Like I can deal with that. Been playing that. Super enjoy it. I haven't finished it yet. I hope to finish that. Then I'm going to try to get into Horizon, the first one, because then we got Pokemon coming out here soon. And then we'll get into all the releases. But it's like, man, like we said last year, this is going to be a crazy gaming year, because it seems like a lot of games were pushed out of 2021 still to 2022. So just like, you're going to have to try to balance your schedules. Like, I don't know if you're going to, have to make concessions. So you're not going to be able to play everything. I know I'm not going to.
No.
So like, and it's going to be something I'm going to have to get over, and that's okay.
Well,
that's okay.
I want to discuss that a little bit, is that like, as we're starting to kind of break things down a little bit on concrete release dates that we have, right? I mean, you're going to get through these next few months, and then after that, it goes straight down, right? Kind of like the Ronavirus, right? We're in a peak, but then it's gonna fucking plateau down, right? In probably a couple of months once it starts to warm up, because you don't have any dates. Like, we're gonna go through the summer and we literally have one game that I think we have like a concrete date for, and that's Saints Row Remastered in August. So like, you know, don't feel overwhelmed when all these games are coming out. Pick up the games you want to play right now, and then you can go back to other games later. It's not that big of a deal. I think people will have time to get to put in for some of these, but then some of these games are going to take a long time out of it. So it really just kind of depends on how you want to go about it. For me,
not to mention. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
That's what some games, because it looks like, unfortunately, like the Omicron variant, or just like, in with it being winter, more people contracting coronavirus, that like games could actually be delayed again. Like,
could be.
Games that weren't delayed originally, that were always slated to come out 2022, could honestly get delayed for their first time into 2023, just because of work from home. Doesn't look like I don't think it's going to go anywhere, at least for a little bit. So games could get delayed again.
Yeah, 100%. I'm waiting for the Decepticon variant. That is what I'm waiting on, because then it's my time. The Autobots roll out, baby. Let's do it. It was a great, nice little break, Christmas break. It's so funny because, like, when I sit there, I'm like, well, yeah. I'm like, you know, like, the holidays both fall on the weekends too. I'm like, there's literally no point in trying to, like, organize people to be like, hey, let's all try to get together this time. Like, people are doing holiday shit. There's no point. So I was like, let's just take the 2 weeks off. It's no biggie. So that was really nice. It was really funny though. At, like, I think right after Christmas, I was like, damn, I could probably do a show right now. Like, I feel like I'm ready to go. I got a good itch to do a show. And I was like, nah, it's cool. We don't have to do that. But we did do a Fantasy Critic draft. We'll get into that later on, the results on that, and how you can follow along with us as well, and stuff like that. I've been playing, I played a little bit of Halo Infinite. Just like trying to, like, going in there, doing my little things, and then I'm like, all right, I'm good. I don't want to keep going right now. I'm waiting for it to just completely grab me again, like it did right in the beginning. But like, I come home and I'm like, yeah, I could do that. Or I could, you know, watch some Bleach. You know, it's tough stuff out here, man. It's tough. And I also played a little bit of Fortnite. Rocket League, I jumped back into because I was like, oh yeah, I'm like, I got to put in the Epic Creator Code on here. I'm like, oh, I have to install it again on Xbox. And then I start playing it, and I forgot how much fun that game is. Like, I just love fucking around in that game. So I've actually been playing a little bit of that. But what I've been playing, boy, I've been playing Mass Effect, the remasters, on Xbox now. We'll get to it, but they are on Game Pass, so I've been playing those. Started that up. Obviously, dude, playing as Jane Shepard, baby. Let's go. She's the shit. And God damn it, I love that game. I started playing the first one because you have to, like, so you install the game and then you go in and that installs the very first Mass Effect, and then you have to install the other two. They're like updates, basically, you install them. So I started installing Mass Effect 2 because I'm going to be really honest with you guys. You probably don't have to play the first Mass Effect. Okay. It's an okay game. It's not the best. Effect 2. To me, Mass Effect 2 is the game, bro. Like, that's the game.
The bad guy of Saren, right? Yeah, Saren.
Yeah,
he's so good in the first
you're
one.
Right. You're right. I'm just saying, if you're not trying to actually, like, dive into the entire series again, you know, if you're just going back and you want to pick one to play, I'm gonna pick two, because I love Mass Effect 2 so much. Maybe one of the probably, you know, top 10 probably games of all time. So good. But I've been playing Mass Effect 1, enjoying the fuck. It's so beautiful, dude. Like, it's so beautiful. It's so funny. I was talking to Jose about this yesterday because he, you know, he had a few cocktails and he started talking about the PlayStation and the Xbox. Like, yeah, he goes, you know, because he has both. And he's like, I love the PlayStation. I'm like, oh, for the exclusives. And he's like, no, like, not even. I just think the games run better on. I go, no, they don't. And he's like, yeah, man, that's what they were saying. I go, you're talking to a guy right here, host of an award-winning gaming podcast that hasn't won an award yet. And you want to tell me what they're saying about these consoles? Listen here, Buckaroo. Pipe down, buckle up. Let me take you on a journey. And that is Phil Spencer's at Microsoft, baby. Let me tell you. I go, no. The Xbox runs it better. I go, and you're getting so many of these first-party games upgraded for free. And then, like, Nick was there, and he's like, yeah, bro, ever heard of Game Pass? Are you fucking serious? Because, like, Boyk wants to play Halo, and because he wants to get an Xbox. And Nick's like, yeah, dude. He's like, you don't even have to buy the Halo game. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, the multiplayer is free for everybody, no matter what. You just install the multiplayer if you want to do that. He's like, and if you do want to play the campaign, just get Game Pass. And he's like, the fuck's Game Pass? So here we are, preaching the words of Phil Spencer to everybody about Game Pass. God bless. Go forth and play everybody. So yeah, doing that, getting in the little like discussions about that, it was always fun. But I was just laughing. I was like looking at him like, you're gonna tell me about these news? I know the shindig, brother. I'm in the shit. Trust me. I am aware. You're talking to the wrong motherfucker right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I will say, like, the Sony fanboys got on the fake news train with that real quick, and like, you gotta give them props. They were out there early.
Yeah.
Ferociously beating the drums, and then yeah, well, it's because I think they were expecting more of the PS5 graphically, and then we also didn't expect Xbox to come out and hit it so hard with Series X graphically, like performance wise.
Yeah, and I told them it wasn't in any way saying that the PS5 runs games bad. It does not. It still runs them beautifully. Like, I loved Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. I loved playing the Spider-Man remaster. Like, tell you what, rocking Roddy Brick Boy bricked up over here playing that. Let me tell you that. It's absolutely beautiful. But I will tell you that, like, playing on the Series X, I'm like, wow, this is nice. When I booted up Mass Effect, could have had a tear run down my eye. So beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So we'll see how far I get into Mass Effect. It was something I was like, dude, I really want to play this again. So I've been playing that. Let's get in to some news, starting with Spider-Man. Spider-Man No Way Home tied for second fastest to hit $1 billion at the box office. That would be tied with Infinity War. Obviously, Endgame, numero uno. BK, what a beautiful movie. What an absolutely beautiful fucking movie.
Yeah, I saw it opening night. The theaters actually saw it by myself. That was when Colleen was having a finals and everything like that. So we were kind of like, it was like touch and go. We were trying to plan when we could go see it, but it was just with all of her work, you know, the work schedule, yeah, and getting homework done. It was tough. So like, and she like knew, I told her like a couple weeks before it came out, I was like, I'm seeing this opening night. I have to go by myself. That this is just what's happening.
We can go like, again. You know, no big deal. But I have to go see this right now.
That's what I told. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so we're trying to plan for she can go see it, and I'll just go see it a second time. I saw it opening night, like 10 p.m. the local theater in town. There was actually smaller town here, obviously. And when I drove up to the theater, that parking lot's like, there's usually like 10 or 15 cars. The parking lot was filled, completely filled when I showed up for the tent. And so I was just like, I was almost afraid I wasn't going to get a ticket. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like, had my refill bucket, like, was ready to go. Like, I had on my Spider-Man Green Goblin shirt, like, oh, battling out, like, that I have. But I get there, and it was actually all the people that were seeing, like, the previous shows. And the 10 o'clock showing, it was probably like half filled still, which is impressive, but it wasn't crazy. I got a ticket, saw it. Loved it. I do want to see it again, but then also I want to rewatch the first two Tobey Spider-Mans to really get a good fresh comparison with those, because, you know, I haven't seen them in a while. I do want to get those on 4K, but like, I do want to like kind of get like a fresh comparison, especially Spider-Man 2, because that one was the just like Mass Effect 2. That is the standout of the original
standard
trilogy.
Spider-Man movies now, like, second Tobey Maguire, no doubt.
So I do want to, so I can compare and contrast, because they're all good, but I think people are forgetting how genre, because I'm going to consider the superhero films like a genre, how genre defining Spider-Man 2 was, how it really changed the game. It's just like, you know, the Dark Knight set like a whole nother standard and level for superhero films.
When people talk about superhero films, especially those early ones, it really is The Dark Knight and Spider-Man 2 that really kind of set the bar very, very high. And I'll be honest with you, I think the last time, like, if I were to like kind of take my MCU fandom out of it, but like just watching a superhero movie, I think the last one that I was like, wow, this is up on that tier, was probably Winter Soldier. Like, Winter Soldier, I've been very, very open that like that is my favorite movie of all time. It's been up there for the longest. No Way Home, probably, like, I'm gonna see it again for sure another time. I've seen it twice now, but I'd like to see it a third time and let that kind of like really ingrain where it's at, because like after the second time I still was like, oh yeah, this might be my number one. This is very close. It's because it's a movie that's able to do so much for you. It is what I was really hoping Disney would have done properly with the Star Wars franchise when I got it back, right? Give you fan service, let it be in a way that actually fuels the plot and it actually all makes sense. And it's fantastic. It's just, man, Kevin Feige, I know that dude makes a fuckload of money, but give him more because he deserves it. He's absolutely fantastic. And he's going to be supposed to be working on the next Star Wars trilogy, and God bless him. He's supposed to be taking over the
reins. Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's supposed to take over the reins.
Kathleen Kennedy? Huh? Like Kathleen Kennedy, Kathleen Kennedy, is giving him more creative control over that?
Yes, because they're supposed to be going back to the Old Republic or High Republic, whichever direction they decide to go. And he's supposed to start helping work on that universe. And Jesus, dude, I'll fucking shed tears. It's going to be so beautiful. But yeah, the MCU, No Way Home is just another way of the pinnacle of how great it is and how fantastic, when properly done right, fan service and stuff like that can truly be. And it was absolutely fantastic. So I'm glad. I think right now it's still it's at almost 1.5 billion, which is just insane as COVID continues to rip through. Fuck it, dude. I don't care. I'm going to see Spider-Man. I don't give a shit. Fuck COVID or not, baby. We got to go see Spider-Man. We don't got time for this. It's a great time.
Thwip. Well, it's the only bad thing I will say about No Way Home is there's a certain character, and I won't super spoil, even though I don't think it's super spoilery, it doesn't affect the movie. Sorry. So if you don't want to hear any spoilers for No Way Home, blop ahead here.
Yeah, skip a couple of minutes.
To a minute.
Skip a few little bit, yeah.
So here's your warning. I'll count it down for you. 3, 2, 1. All right, here. So there's a post-credit scene where Tom Hardy's Venom shows up.
Yeah.
So that's my one regret of No Way Home, because I was like, well, shit, he showed up. I got to watch those movies. And as you know, because I think I texted all of my friends too. I was like, watch those movies. They suck. They're not good. Dude,
they're not good.
And so that's my only regret, is that they kind of threw a bone to Sony. They're like, all right, here, they'll make an appearance. They're not necessarily in the universe, though, because, they get blipped back there. But I watched those movies, and Marvel Disney has no input into those movies whatsoever. It's just all Sony. And it's you can absolutely tell. You can absolutely tell. It's not good.
We're going to have to get David, Dan, and Pete together, and we'll do a full-on thoughts on Spider-Man. Because I know Dan absolutely in love with Spider-Man, one of his favorite characters, just as ours. David, I know, loved it. I'm assuming Pete saw it and Pete loved it. I'm going to keep going, but dude, the one scene that everybody's talking about, you probably seen it all over TikTok and stuff like that. Where they're doing the thing, dude. I shed tears every time because it's just absolutely beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I almost cried a few times watching it. It was just
I definitely cried a few times. There's no doubt in my mind. I was like, dude, this is fucking beautiful. This is it was middle school or early, late elementary school. Ryan just felt his entire heart just full of joy because of how much I love Spider-Man as a character. He's, my favorite comic book character, Batman right below him. And man, it's almost as if for some reason, which this would never happen, but if DC could give me a really good Green Arrow type of movie, I'd probably have a lot of feelings, because that's my third favorite. But they never will. I got the show with Stephen Amell, and that's as best as I'm gonna get, and I guess I'll take it.
So. It's a really good show.
Oh, it is. It's fucking great.
And so we were talking about genre defining superhero films. I would actually throw Green Arrow in there for a
TV show.
For genre defining. For superhero TV shows.
I think it did more than even Smallville. I honestly would say it probably did, because
and Smallville did a lot.
Obviously, people, if you have, I don't really care if this spoils you for Arrow, that's on you, but the Crisis on Infinite Earths, when they were able to flash to see the DCEU flash, and it's dude, what the hell? How did they, I remember watching that and my jaw dropped. I was what? I was so shocked. It's fucking awesome. I love it. Great. It's absolutely fantastic. Let's get into some more video game news. Final Fantasy 16 producer Naoki Yoshida discussed delays due to COVID, which delayed the game development almost half a year. But the part that I didn't expect, they're going to show off more of Final Fantasy 16 in the spring. I did not even think we were at this point yet. But like, yeah, let's fucking go, man. Is Final Fantasy gonna come out this year? Doubtful, but it could be within the next year or two.
Yeah, I think I actually had it on my my video game, like fantasy gaming. Last year I had Final Fantasy 16 because I think it was originally supposed to try to come out in 2021. Then obviously everything happened. I don't know if it's going to come out in 2022. If it does, it's going to be the an end of the year situation, yeah. I would imagine, which makes sense. Like, you know, because you think of a, you know, Square, their big holiday release was Guardians, and so they'll do the same thing here, yeah, with Final Fantasy. Makes sense.
100%.
Oh yeah, my bad. The next part's me. Jeez. All right. Yep. Bad podcasting there, everybody. Sorry about that. Yeah, and it's not, the colors are correct, everyone. Like Ryan and I, we had like the on air, like, you know, the color situation, color flip of room. No, the green's for BK.
I was gonna say I'm colorblind, but I'm like looking at it. I go, no, I think that's green. I don't think that's me. No, I think that's green.
That's green. Yeah, no, it's green. I'm just not paying attention. Also, like, spoiler alert, like, the Arsenal is playing in the FA Cup right now, so I do have that on my cell phone below my computer screen right here while we're doing this. In true BK fashion, of course. Riot Games sells a 2018 class action gender discrimination lawsuit. $100 million, with $80 million going to the women from the lawsuit, and another $20 million. $20 million going towards plaintiffs' legal fees. So this is I know Riot originally, they tried to settle for less. And then I think the state of California got involved, and then legally, and it got bumped up a whole bunch more, but glad this is happening. This has been a trend you've been seeing in gaming, I'd say probably the past year and a half, if not 2 years now. It kind of, you know, the gaming Me Too movement and just bad workplace environment. So it's good that it seems like there's actual, like, there's changes, but then there's also legal ramifications. That's also good as well. And like, yeah, I mean, like, money doesn't fix everything. Like, I'm not saying that, but like, it's good that they're getting something like out of it to a certain degree after going through those traumatic experiences. So that's good as well.
100%. Yeah, I mean, it's been, like you said, it's been this entire kind of movement, especially in 2021, and we saw it in 2020 and even more, where you got to hold these companies reliable for their bad behavior and for behavior that's just absolutely not acceptable in any format, whether it's gaming community or not. And this is a good step here, at least for this situation. And the fact that, I don't know, I haven't gone through all the notes, but I don't see an Activision Blizzard story on here, so God bless that too.
Yeah, they took the holidays off for being an awful
good
company.
good.
Yeah. EA's former director of product marketing, Kim Salzer, stated in an interview that EA almost made a Harry Potter MMO, dude, in the early 2000s, but they pulled the plug.
It would have shit
now,
on
I
WoW.
I think you have some thoughts.
Yeah, it would have shit on WoW, dude. I'm sorry. If a fucking Harry Potter MMO was done correctly, me and David would be like Mike and Junior on this show. Let me fucking tell you. Still playing Harry Potter MMO out there. Wingardium Leviosa and doing the thing. It would have been great. Go, all right, I would have been absolutely all over it. Would have shit on World of Warcraft, you dumb nerds. They would have shit on it. Your fucking mounts and your bullshit. No, dude, we could have got different carrier owls and pigeons and shit, dude. It would have been fucking great. Different wands. Oh my god.
Yep.
But well, then I saw that was EA. Then I saw it was EA, and I was like, never mind. It would have been bad. Sorry. It would have been bad.
Well, it's interesting that they didn't go ahead with this, you know, because I remember EA did come out with a Quidditch game point, and that was actually I enjoyed that. I remember playing it on the GameCube. it was quite enjoyable because it was like a mix of like a sports game, but it wasn't. I don't know. It's one of those tweeners. So I'm surprised they didn't do this, especially at the height of Harry Potter's powers there, when the books were still coming out. Like, people were lining up to get the books. The movies were still coming out, lining up to see the movies. So it's interesting that they didn't do this, because it seems like a home run. But at the same time, it could have seemed like a home run, like the way E.T. was back on the like original Atari, and then they had to bury a bunch of them in the desert. So I do think it would have been big, though. I do agree, because
I think a lot of it has Harry to do Potter with fandoms. Like, the MMO genre at that time, and like obviously WoW blew up, but like you didn't know how to do it properly necessarily, and there's like different ways. I mean, we've seen so many now MMOs just come through and just die in the graveyard, and WoW being one of the very few to sustain. So maybe that's part of it, and like EA is like, we don't know like what we want to do with this. But I think it would have been cool. Yeah, like you said, it would have been fucking sweet. Oh, it's my turn. Sorry.
Yeah, next one's you.
And let's talk about games possibly. Oh, is GoldenEye from the N64 coming to Xbox, everybody? It sure seems like a recent achievement leak suggests that this is the case. And let me tell you, what a wild way to kick off 2022. Could Rare Studios be bringing us GoldenEye remastered for the Xbox, BK?
Man, if this would be a big W. I mean, you're talking about like...
for at least 2 weeks while everybody enjoys nostalgia, of course.
Yeah, like we're talking a meteor-sized dub here that comes in. Well, and then also like, it'll help if they can get more Xboxes on the shelves, because it'll sell Xboxes. Because like for the nostalgia alone, people will pick up an Xbox, whether it's Xbox Series X or S. They'll pick it up just so they can play GoldenEye. I guarantee you. Like, I mean, you've seen like the videos of like, you know, people like my age and even slightly older, and they hook up the N64 and they're showing like their kids, and like that music comes on, and the guy's just getting started. Woo! You ain't ready! You ain't ready! You ain't ready! And he's just getting all excited, and he's just like, I mean, because that was that changed the game in terms of first person shooters, like multiplayer first person shooters, especially like, you know, sitting there with like your buddies playing and screen watching and all that stuff. I mean, this would be a huge dub. I'm skeptical, but fingers crossed.
Yeah, I know there was talks years back that they wanted to bring back GoldenEye, and that it was talked about being remastered possibly. We do know IO Studios is working on a new James Bond video game. It is the 50th anniversary of James Bond this year. They promised different exciting news throughout the year. So this doesn't necessarily wouldn't blow my mind, but it would be pretty cool. Like I said, I definitely would spend like a couple weeks of being like in full nostalgia mode. Like, wow, this is great. This is awesome. And then, you know, I'll just pack it up and be like, I really appreciate that. Thanks, Xbox. That was great.
Now, I will say, like, if it comes out, it has to be like local multiplayer. It, like, you have to be able to hook up 3 or 4 Xbox controllers to a console and play. If it's not, then you're losing out on that nostalgia of it even more, you know, because like, yeah, part of the nostalgia with it is like you're sitting there like with your friends. And yeah, I mean, part of it was like the internet capacity at the time could not handle it. But that like goes into it. And you've even seen it with like Halo here. People were like upset about the not having the co-op campaign, because like it's ingrained into the nostalgia of that. So if they don't have the couch multiplayer, I'm going to be a little upset, to be completely honest, just because I think that's a huge missed opportunity.
Yeah, it would be super cool. It'd be really cool. I want to see what they do with this. It'd be great. Atlus announced that Shin Megami Tensei 5 has sold around 800,000 copies since launch, making it the best-selling in the series. That is awesome, but even better. Tease more announcements and Persona announcements as well for the 25th anniversary. Just give me Persona 5 on Game Pass. Give me Persona 5 on the Switch. Let's do it. I want more people to be able to play the Persona 5. It was such an amazing game. I firmly believe that is a game that Monster Hunter Mike would spend hours upon hours playing. So I just want more people to go play how great that game truly is. But yeah, also for Shin Megami Tensei, I've seen that like videos from that game. It looks so cool. I just haven't really wanted to get it on my Switch and like dive into that, because I'm like, if I do that, I got Pokemon coming up, bro. I can't do that. I'm just really right now, I'm just kind of in neutral, rolling down the road. It's very icy here. And we're just rolling to get into Pokemon Arceus. That's all we're trying to do. Pokemon Legends, baby. let's get it. But yeah, this is awesome. This is great for Atlas, and it's obviously great for Sega, which means it's great for BK. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I know the Shin Megami Tensei fans out there are super excited. And it's a bit of validation for them because, you know, Persona was the spinoff originally of Shin Megami Tensei. So it's good that it's getting its just due. And like I said, like I'm interested in that game, but I got so much in the backlog. Like I said, like at the time I was looking at Danganronpa and Shin Megami Tensei, and I was like, I've wanted to play Danganronpa for a long, long time. Yeah. I'm going to do that instead. Maybe like future BK, maybe picks up Shin Megami Tensei 5 sometime. Cause honestly, I hadn't picked up my Switch in quite a while until like Danganronpa like here. And I was like, oh yeah, it's kind of nice. Like it's easier to have like sports on in the background and can sit there and play in handheld mode. So that is nice, but just the battery life, you know, that the whole issues with that and being near a charger. So just, but it's, good news, and hopefully Persona does come over, the Persona 6 or whatever, it hopefully does come over to Xbox. I still got to play the fifth one, like I've said, like, yeah. But like I just keep putting it off, like, because I know it's 100 plus hours, and so I'm just like, I'll get time one day.
Yeah, because I think when I played on the PS4, I think I got about 60 hours in. Like, it's great.
Did you finish it?
No. No.
Oh.
No, dude, I got to keep going. But I just was like, I have to stop right now. Other things coming out, and I'm like, I can't just be the Persona guy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I don't have that luxury. Like Mike can just be the WoW guy. You know what I mean? I don't have that luxury. Imagine me coming in trying to talk about video games, and all I know is Persona. You know what I mean? Can't do that. Can't do that. Gotta be well versed. Ghost of Tsushima has sold 8 million copies, which is fantastic. That's awesome. It was Game of the Year contender. I think it might have won Game of the Year at a couple of awards. But then the bigger news here is Days Gone director Jeff Ross tweeted that Days Gone was treated like a failure after it hit 8 million copies sold mark by management. Now, let me then reiterate an update for that. Sales were actually likely very much lower after the director revealed Source was the site that tracks trophies. It's a site that's been debunked because it doesn't count. It counts like every resale of that game, or like when the game is sold to a GameStop and then the GameStop resells that copy. That is literally the same copy. That does not count as two copies sold of that video game. It's just still the one copy. So no, it probably didn't even hit 8 million. It was probably less than that. Because I think the last time one of the other workers on the game was like, no, I think it's at like 5.5 million copies sold. So very much not at 8 million copies sold. I would also argue, too, because I saw people like talk about this, and like Days Gone is this weird thing where like it has a niche group of fans that, you know, people were like, oh, I wish this game would have gotten more love from Sony. Well, I mean, I guess, but I would also argue that Days Gone not being nearly critically acclaimed the way that Ghost of Tsushima was is probably like the big difference, right? I mean, when you talk about the quote unquote success of a video game, right? It was way more critically acclaimed. It was way more love for Ghost of Tsushima than there was for Days Gone, and that's how the cookie crumbles. Not every PlayStation game is going to be a hit, boys.
Well, I know what you mean. There is a very niche hardcore following of Days Gone, and I mean, like, I've almost picked up the game like on a GameStop like used game sale, yeah, like a few times. I'm like, oh yeah, because I can throw this in the backlog, because it does look like, you know, the open world, the zombies, it does look like an enjoyable game. Yeah, I also know when that game released, it was super buggy, and yep. So and people and that hurt its reviews critically, because it wasn't, there were just a lot of issues when it first came out. And it's one of these games where if it maybe have been delayed a month even, and gotten worked through some of those bugs, it probably could have done better critically and maybe had more sales. I don't know, but that's all speculation, the whole what if game. So it is a bummer, but unfortunately, you know, just these things happen in gaming. You know, it's just you're not always going to hit a home run. That's just, it's impossible. Like, you know, you're going to slip up eventually. It happens. And honestly, it's not even like a huge slip up. They hit like a single.
They probably like hit a single right between the second baseman and the first baseman. It was cool, whatever, you got on, nice, you know, way to get on, you know, at least you didn't strike out, pop up or something.
Exactly. Great job. Exactly. Samsung announced their 2022 TV lineups at CES here the other day. And surprisingly, it includes game streaming apps, but not xCloud. That is the surprising part. It's got something for Luna, surprisingly, Stadia. So just that's it's just weird. And maybe because xCloud is still technically in beta, maybe that's why. This is all conjecture. No one really knows why, especially because Microsoft and Samsung do have a partnership with their TVs, with the plugins and everything. So that's what makes me think because Microsoft doesn't want to roll out something and it's in beta, and then the public at large, the mass consumers are just like confused and it doesn't work as properly. But more hardcore gamers, i.e. us, are more forgiving because like, all right, like it's in beta, things are gonna happen.
Right, exactly, 100%. I mentioned earlier in the show, Fantasy Critic. We did the 2022 AM Nation Fantasy Critic draft. Last year's champ, David Undead Black Bull. Congrats to him. He was picking second in this draft. The worst overall team last year got the first pick. I don't know how that happens, but God bless him. It's like the NFL and everything else. You know what I mean? We got to help these bad teams. And I thought Mike had a layup. I was like, yo, but he thought with his heart. And not with getting the most points, because I was like, he's gonna take for Horizon Forbidden West, like milk or Elden Ring, one of the two, and he's gonna fucking just milk these big old 90 scores real quick. And he's like, nope, I don't want to do that. So let's get into these teams, and we'll talk a little bit here. So let's start. I'll go in order of the teams that drafted first. So let's go Lion's Pride In, that publisher by Mike. Also, if you are not on Fantasy Critic, you can get on there. It's free. You just jump in there with your friends. You could do a league, or you could find people that are doing leagues and do them with them. It's just like fantasy football, but for fantasy video games, right? Instead of picking your players for your team, you're picking video games for your publisher, right? Like your EA, your Ubisoft, you're not Activision Blizzard, that you're not. Maybe you're someone else, but you've published these video games. They also have a cool Critic Royale thing on here, where you just compete against all the other people on the website. You pick the games. You have a $100 budget. Each game has a money value. You get as many as you want to buy with your $100 budget, but you also have to use your budget to then promote those games, and that's also adds to your points. It's actually really cool. If you are on there, you can just search the AM Nation Fantasy Gaming, and you can just follow along the whole year with us and see who wins this time. But let's start with Mike's team, Lion's Pride In Publishing. He's got Pokemon Legends Arceus, Mario Rabbit Sparks of Hope, Bayonetta 3, Ghostwire Tokyo, and Splatoon 3. Now, if Splatoon 3 launches, and if Ghostwire Tokyo and Bayonetta 3 launch, Mike is going to have a really, really solid team. Really solid. Like, really good.
Absolutely. Well, because if anything I've learned from this is that my humble Nintendo games, I feel like aren't
They're not locked.
judged as hard. They're not judged as harshly,
Oh, true.
in my opinion. So, in my opinion, well, except for like Splatoon, because it's like a newer franchise, so there's like less nostalgia tied to it, and that's like essentially like what I'm going at here. Not
Oh,
saying
I
that the
see.
Nintendo games are bad, just there's a lot of nostalgia tied to them because they've been around for, forever ostensibly. So it's that's what helps them.
Yes. Earthbending Inc. from Undead Black Bull. He's got Horizon Forbidden West, Gran Turismo 7, Dying Light 2, Stay Human, Hogwarts Legacy, and Gotham Knights. Some big hitters there. Some definitely big hitters. Horizon gonna get David a lot of points. Dying Light 2 gonna give a really good amount of points. I think Gran Turismo 7 could even easily get him like get in the 80s. So like he'll get some solid points right there. And then it's up to what Gotham Knights does when it releases, and if Harry Potter does release this year. So solid job, David.
Yeah,
Solid job.
I think the Hogwarts Legacy and Gotham Knights are like, to use like an RPG mechanic and term here, are the glass cannons, where like they're either gonna hit for a lot or they're gonna take like one shot and like die essentially. So they're either gonna have a huge score or they're gonna have like a not so good score at all. I think they're kind of like they're like all in poker chip style. And like I'm not saying I'm against it, like because I do believe, but I think those are those where like there's a wide range of possibilities. for those two.
100%. And then for me, these next two teams, besides ourselves, and these are the two teams I think you have to really watch. And if they actually decide to pick up extra games, could be very, very, very dangerous indeed. We've got Alliance Gaming from the Freakster. He's got Elden Ring, Total War, Warhammer 3, Cuphead, The Delicious Last Course, Lord of the Rings, Gollum, and Scorn. I don't know if Gollum releases this year. That's the one that I'm kind of like, I don't know. But Elden Ring is going to get fat points. It's going to get fat, fat, fat points. And then Cuphead, The Delicious Last Course, absolutely going to get fat, fat, fat points. Then it really leans into how well does Total Warhammer do? I don't know. And then Scorn. Scorn is the wild card there for sure. But if he actually adds games, this could be very, very, very good year for Dan.
Yeah, well, if we had like an Excel spreadsheet and that, like, you know, we made fun of him on it, like, you know, that we have for the NFL weekly pickums, I was like, Dan, put the line, please, like, and stuff like that.
Fun fact, breaking the fourth wall here. How the picks work is I pick the games, I have them on the spreadsheet. I then go on my phone on Google Sheets, I copy the lines, and I send them to Dan and Josh, and I tell them, send me your picks. Dan does not put the line for his last pick. I have to manually go look at what the line is when he texts me, and I type it in. So, yeah, I'm almost curious. I wanted to ask Dan, and I know he's probably listening. I wanted to ask him, did he know that all year we were picking against the spread, or did he think I was just throwing the numbers in there just because?
That's a good question.
Because, like, remember when he was on the one time, and he picked Detroit, and I was like, well, that's not bad. It's like plus 16. And he's like, yeah, I don't know if they're going to win, though. And I go, wait, what? And I was going to ask him. I'm like, you know what? We're too far in. I'm not even going to ask him. But now I am thinking about it. I'm like, Dan, did you know this whole time? Or did you just think I put the numbers in there just because I wanted to feel really cool? Very curious about that.
He's still doing better than me, so shout out to him.
Dude, I know, man. It's tough. It's tight in there. Brainless Koi Games from Junya. He's got Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. Dude, sleeper pick, bro. That's a fucking sleeper.
Big points.
Yeah, he's going to get real good points there.
Easy points there.
The game that I wanted more than anything, Tiny Tina's Wonderland, because I honestly believe I have Tiny Tina's Wonderland is my, right now saying it here on January 9th, my outside favorite for game of the year for me personally. It's my outside favorite. So if it's not, yeah, it's right there. Then you got Kirby and the Forgotten Land. Hey, man, I could get him some fucking points, baby. Could get him to do it. Uncharted Legacy of Thieves. All right, dude. As long as they don't fuck up the PC remaster, you're going to be okay there. You're going to get some points. and then you've got Destiny 2, The Witch Queen. He's going to get fucking loaded with points for Destiny 2, The Witch Queen. There is no doubt in my mind. He's going to get loaded when that drops in February. Junior, very well done. Hopefully you also log in and add some games. Now, I do want to make sure. I want to make sure that right now. Because we're going to get to BK and myself who did add games. BK actually filled his team out. I added one. You also obviously don't have to get the games right away. You can wait until release dates are announced and you can play with it. There's updates coming out as this year rolls along on Fantasy Critic. I think I sent it to all you guys that like they're going to implement trades and more things that we can do. So like that's going to be really fucking cool. Wheeling and dealing. Right? Like, hey, man, I'll take some of your notes from you. Plus, I'll give you this game if you give me this. You know what I mean? Like, here we go, dude. Dry tugs everywhere, man. Just to get some games. So there you go.
Dutch Rudder.
Oh, shit, dude. Triple Dutch Rudder. Let's go. Frozark Games. That is my publisher. I took Starfield, A Plague Tale Requiem, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, Forspoken, and then I picked up Sonic Frontiers this past week because I was nervous that BK would like to get Sonic, and I said, fuck that Sega lover. That ain't happening on my watch. Yeah, I was happy with Starfield, though. I was really happy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, dude, getting Starfield that late, and then, I think when you picked a Plague Tale Requiem, I think I texted you immediately. I was like, oh, fuck, motherfucker! Oh, is a solid pick. Also, like, I wanted to ask, like, well, also the names this year for everyone's fantasy teams much better. So, everyone, like, I really like Juniors of the Brainless Koi, and then also I like how Mike's is Lions Pride Inn. So like the Lions own that. So like if you stay there, like just know that the Lions own it. Like you have no ownership whatsoever. That's a possessive S there.
I want you
But
to
just so
know.
everyone's know.
I also want you to know that that's very WoW related. It's very much WoW related.
Oh, okay.
As is
I
Dan's. As is Dan's. Yes, the Lions are the Alliance. But now that you
Okay.
mentioned the Detroit Lions, now I'm like questioning my Alliance love, and I'm like, oh fuck, are we the Detroit Lions? Oh
All
fuck,
right.
that's
Well,
not good.
I wanted to ask you about your name. Is it a combination of Frozen and Ozark?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I was like, wanted something with Frozen, and then I was watching Ozark, and I was like, Frozark, nice, that sounds cool.
I like it. I
Thank
like
you,
it.
thank
How
you.
is Ozark so far?
Oh,
I wanted to
dude.
watch it.
Man, Jason Bateman. Fucking stud. It's a great movie. A great show. It's a great show. It's been a great show.
Yeah, that's on my list.
Oh yeah, it's good, man. It's good. It's just hard, like, for me, like, to finish shows like that because they're like 45 minutes long. And when I'm in my anime mode, like, I'm watching, obviously 20-minute episodes, and I'm binging. So when I have to binge that, I'm like, oh wow, this is gonna take a little bit more time out of my day. Fuck. And then it was rounded out with the man that almost did it. He almost grabbed the championship. It was right there. It's right there. And BK or
Thanks,
Dave.
GTA Definitive Edition, for really like
Right,
just like
fucking yeah.
they. I think they what they got me like -27 or something
Yeah.
like ridiculous.
Yeah,
They
don't
really
worry. I
screwed
felt the
me.
same way with Battlefield. Don't worry, bud. It wasn't great. And then Bombastic Kangaroo Games from BK. He's got God of War Ragnarok, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2, Dead Space Remake, Marvel's Midnight Suns, Redfall, and he ended the dri or and then he picked up three more games. Hollow Knight Silksong. Hey, why not? Didn't come out last year. Let's try it again. Let's do it. Then you got the Callisto Protocol, and Stray. Ooh, dude, Stray. I'm so excited for that. I almost put
Yeah,
in for that, and I
with the
was like,
cat. Yeah.
I don't know.
It was between Stray and like Sonic Frontiers. So I was like, ah. I
Now,
was like, and my thinking was, I was like, all right, like they won't give like a game where you're just playing like as a cat and you're trying to save the humans. Like I was like, they can't give it that bad of a score.
you
No
hope
matter
not.
how bad
Yeah,
of a
you
game
hope
it
not.
is.
I'm excited for
So
Stray, but I will say, so then obviously everybody does a counter pick, and yeah, BK's games, and I think mine, you took mine for Spoken, but like BK's games heavily taken out in the counterpoint, not because here's the thing, as I'm looking at what everybody's was, like I took your Dead Space Remake because I was like, please God, don't release this year. Please God, don't release. Same thing with like Junior taking Breath of the Wild 2. And Marvel Midnight Suns as well. It's literally just please God don't let these release, because if those games release, more than likely, the three of us that did take those are going to get fucked in points, very much
Yeah.
so, because those will get high enough points. I'll be like, God damn it. That's why, like, I got scared. I didn't touch God of War. I got really scared when Junior took Breath of the Wild 2 as his. Like, oh, you ballsy motherfucker. Because if that releases, you are done. Your entire team is done. So yikes. It's very scary. It's very touch and go right now.
Oh yeah, and especially because we how many games did we draft last year? I know we had a larger roster overall, but how many games did we
We
draft
draft six
last
out of
year?
the 12.
Okay, so yeah, so I mean, like, so you had more to choose from. So it was almost easier to counterpick last year. The counterpicks this year, it was like tough. And I think I had the last counterpick, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. So I was like, fuck.
Yeah,
It was
it's
tough.
super difficult because, like, looking at your team right here, just off the rip of God of War and Breath of the Wild 2, if those games release, whew. That's 290 plus scores just sitting there.
Oh yeah, auto 90s. I mean,
Yeah.
like I'll even be bold enough to say like they'll probably be sitting at least a 92 on OpenCritic.
You're probably right. You're probably 100% correct on that. So, like, damn, right off the rip, if those do come out, my goodness. Whew. This is gonna be fun though. I really enjoyed everybody's draft. I thought everybody did a really good job. Not only just the names are great, but in general, I thought all of this was very, very good. So this is fun. This is awesome. This is great. We'll see. We will see who wins and who loses as the years go on. I think games coming out right now, Mike actually will have the Mike and Junior will have the battle in the beginning. Two of those games releasing on the 28th. So there you go.
Yeah, well, like his, you know, we're gonna talk about the video game releases here in January. So there's gonna be a lot of scores, like early on scores here early in this year. So those January releases on Xbox Game Pass, we have Gorgoa.
Yeah, it's a puzzle game. Very awesome.
And is that Ouija right there? Is that like the Ouija?
Olija or
That
something
that's
like that? I cannot pronounce
yeah,
it.
isn't that Ouija?
Might
I
be.
don't like it. I think it's a scary game. The Pedestrian, Ember, and Outer Wilds. Outer Wilds is coming back to Game Pass. It came out last year, I believe, if not the year before that, on the Game Pass. So it's coming back. It's making it back in the rotation. And then the aforementioned Mass Effect Legendary Edition are all out now on Xbox Game Pass. Spelunky 2 and the Anacrusis game preview are coming January 13th. So just in a few days here. Monster Hunter Rise on PC drops January 12th. God of War, the reboot from the PS4 there is coming to PC on January 14th. Rainbow Six Extraction on PC, PS4, PS5, and the Xbox family of consoles. It's coming out on January 20th, and it's even coming day one to Game Pass, so that's interesting. So all those hardcore Rainbow Six fans, if you like more of the alien twist on that, then there you go. You have that option. Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection comes out to PS5 on January 28th. And then the much anticipated here on the AM Nation podcast, Pokemon Legends Arceus. So I did hear this the other day on a different on Nintendo voice chat. It's Arceus.
I've been saying it wrong my whole life.
Well, so okay, well no, so like two things here. So one, when they originally came out with the character, it was originally pronounced Arceus. So you weren't wrong, but they changed it to Arceus because arse sounds like ass, and like a lot of English people say arse to mean ass. So they changed it to Arceus. So
Ah,
don't
so it
feel
is
bad.
Arceus. Got it.
Yes, that's coming to the Nintendo Switch on January 28th. Speaking of the Pokemon, Pokemon Company reveals 25th anniversary swag in the form of shirts, hats, and shoes with Converse.
Yeah.
Some Chuck Taylor models have already sold out. They released, I think
Right
it
away.
was
Right away. As soon as it
the
released, I went
seventh.
on there and they were gone.
They are super duper cool
They are
looking. I was like,
super cool.
holy, they were wow. Some great stuff on there. They have some different there's different like starters from the different regions, like different shoes you can get. So like if you do want some Pokemon Chuck Taylors, there are still options that are really cool on there. Go check them out. They run anywhere. I think it's like from like $70 to $90. Not cheap, but also not super crazy expensive as you can get with, you know, NBA basketball shoes and those drops. I mean, they can range anywhere from $120 to $200. So they're not super duper crazy. And then some
Oh
bit of news
man, do you
here
see these
to
Pokemon,
loot.
the Pikachu ones with the lightning?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, the black and kind of like gray
What
one.
the fuck?
I know. They're
Damn.
honestly,
Wow.
if it was like black and yellow, that one would have
Oh
been
yeah,
wowzers. That
I would have grabbed that
would
right
have
away. That is so cool.
that would have sold out in negative 5 seconds.
Yeah,
It
you were
would have sold
correct.
out before it even got listed. But to circle back on some news real quick that we missed, Insomniac officially announced that Spider-Man 2 and Wolverine will be PS5 exclusives. So if you are sitting at home and you have a PS4 or PS4 Pro, and you want to play those games, try to hopefully find a way to get a PS5, go Fast and Furious 1 style and just rob one of the 18-wheeler trucks that's delivering them, you
Yeah.
know? Just drive underneath of it, help slow it down, all that
Family.
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, family.
Family.
Getting this console for
I want to
the
ask you
family.
I want to ask you a question. So when you went through those games that are coming out and a lot of Game Pass news there, a lot of heavy Game Pass stuff. Do you think this might be the best besides the Bethesda drop? Or obviously when they got Bethesda and all the Bethesda games came to Game Pass, obviously very hard to compete with that. We'll take that on its own. Do you think this is one of the best drops for Game Pass that we've seen, at least critically wise, like when it comes to like games with really good critically acclaimed games, like especially Outer Wilds, Mass Effect, that Gogora got like a fucking 86, I think, on Open Critic. And there's a lot of games for everything. And then on top of that, they sprinkle in Rainbow Six Extraction this month too.
And Spelunky's got a
Yeah.
quite. I think that's critically acclaimed as well.
It is, yeah.
Saying it's one of the best, I Yeah, that's not I don't think it's a step too far, but for me personally, no, I
Okay.
don't think it. But like I'm not going to disparage you from believing that, because I can understand
I think right now
that.
Xbox is doing a really good job, right? You had Forza Horizon, and then like within the next like 4 weeks you had Halo Infinite, and now a month later we're getting Mass Effect and Rainbow Six Extraction and all these other Spelunky 2 and these fun games. I think this has just been a really good run for Xbox Game Pass right now.
Yeah, I think they're trying to keep that forward momentum going, because obviously when Forbidden West drops, I mean, essentially all of gaming news is going to be on that. And then obviously when Arceus comes out, I think most of the gaming conversation will be around that as well. So I think Xbox is just trying to just keep some forward momentum, trying to stay in a conversation before they have another first party big first party game drop.
Yeah.
Because I mean, look, Nintendo's coming out swinging here at the end of the month, and Sony's coming out swinging the middle to the halfway the end of next month. So
100%. NVIDIA announced some new nerdy PC shit. Some their 30 series got some more TIs and more updates that you won't be able to get, so don't worry about it. Don't even worry your little heads about it. You won't be able to get them anyway. But yeah, they announced some of that and I was like, "Oh, nice." I'm not gonna get one, so great. Awesome. Cool. But yeah, it was cool at least, I guess. I love the as they continue to do more with the GeForce, moving forward with that and like their streaming service and like what they decide to do to implement that. I love that it's a service that I barely know anything about, but I know it's doing better than Stadia. That's cool. So there is that. Also, Sony, or no, Techland, the devs behind Dying Light 2 say the game will take around 500 hours to 100% the game. But to complete the main story, side missions with some exploring, it'll take players under 100 hours, so somewhere between like 70 and 90 hours. That's a long game. It's a long game.
super long game. You're definitely gonna get your money's worth, and hopefully, I know David's probably, I think David, we were just saying, has it on his team, so he's hoping for a big score from that one. And that game has been delayed twice, because it was supposed to come out last year, then they pushed it. It got pushed like November to December, and then it got pushed to this February. So that game has a lot of it's going to be a big release. It's just like we talked about, there's a lot of big games coming out here. So just find how you're going to divide your time between all these great games coming out here.
100%. Also, it finally has been revealed. They revealed at CSN. Sony officially announces PSVR 2, the PlayStation VR 2. Horizon Call of the Mountains is in development for it. It has 4K HDR, eye tracking tech, and more. They also confirmed that with VR, but they are working on a Twisted Metal TV series. Give me a goddamn Twisted Metal video game, you sons of a bitches. I don't need the TV series. I want a new damn Twisted Metal video game. BK, your thoughts on here on the brand new PSVR 2?
Oh no, it's very good. I haven't seen anything on the price yet, so that's going to be the interesting thing, at least with this PSVR 2 right now, is that you have the PS5. It's still hard to find, and then it's going to be a peripheral for that. It's probably going to be anywhere from what, $350 to $500, based on
Probably.
like so here's some more specs for everyone out there. It's got 2000 by 2040 pixels per eye there. That's more than any of the other ones that are out right now, like the Oculus Quest 2, which a lot of people got. That's the hands-free one provided by Meta, not Facebook anymore, by Meta. And that's 1832 by 1920 per eye, and it's an LCD screen. The PSVR 2 is going to be OLED, so it's got better contrast. So it's going to be, I mean, this thing's like, it's got built-in eye tracking. The field of view is 110 degrees. That's 20 degrees more than Oculus Quest 2, which is only at 90. And it's going to be corded as well. So like that's there's it's going to be interesting to see how this does. There's a lot of factors at play that just like I like to see how consumers react to stuff like this. So this is going to be super interesting to see what happens, because you have the first barrier of like, okay, do people have a PS5? Because that's the obvious first barrier. Then do they want to purchase like probably $350 to $500 attachment to it, and it's still going to be corded. It's not going to be cordless. So this is it's very interesting to see how it's playing out, because when the first PSVR came out, there was hundreds of millions of PlayStation 4s out in the wild, and I think the PSVR end up settling on 10 million, like around 10 million, like give or take 100,000 units or so, which is, you know, it's not bad, but it's also not great, like attach rate wise for something like that. So this is just going to be interesting to something to watch and see. I'm probably not getting one. I can't.
Well, yeah.
I can't tell myself that, yeah, I'm going to drop.
Until BK, they announce Insomniac is working on Spider-Man VR. And then you're like, ah, son of a bitch.
it'll be interesting. It's gonna be interesting to see. Like, I'm super excited to see like what happens in this space personally.
Okay, so for me personally, right, I don't have any type of VR system. I actually didn't even know my brother upstairs had one for the longest time. Slap Nugget, the 2P2G God, the Casio Wizard, you know him. I didn't know he had one. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, dude, I've been having one. I was like, damn, dude, you have an Oculus Quest 2? Like, why don't you let me, like, I want to try it out. And he's like, oh, I didn't know that. And I go, yeah, like, I'm very interested in it. I've played it once. To be fair, I was very stoned when I did it. And it probably added to it. I was playing Star Wars, and it, like, oh, man, dude, fucked me up. And super hot. But I really, really, really want to get into VR. I'm waiting until I move because I don't have any fucking room. And I want to wait until I move here in the next couple of months and kind of see what my layout's going to be then for the foreseeable future before I get one, because I really, really, really want to get in. I think I want to get the Oculus Quest 2. I think that's kind of where I'm leaning, just for the price point and what you're able to get. I think that's probably my best bet. But I'm very interested in this. I'm super, super interested. It's the corded thing that really throws me off. Yeah. Because, like, to be fair, you know, with my PC, like, I've played a VR with corded for the PC, and it's okay. I just don't know, like, you know, I really don't want to be moving around and, like, rip my fucking PS5 off the stand or something, you know what I mean? I don't want to do all that. But I'm really interested in this space in general and where VR is going to go. I know, like, none of us drafted a VR game because I think it's still in this weird, we don't know how these get critically do these guys, you know, they get marked. You know, I saw people play the Iron Man VR last time on the PS4, the first PSVR, and it was actually really cool, but it's just, you know, obviously it needs work. I think PlayStation, for them to do a second one, shows you that they see value in that market. And they're obviously putting more resources into it this time around, like you mentioned, with the field of vision being higher, the 4K and the eye tracking. Like, obviously they see a value in this, which should tell everybody else that VR is going to be something here. It might not be right this year, obviously, but within the next, you know, 5 to 10 years, even, where is VR going to go for the video game industry is going to be extremely interesting.
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely. And I think, one of the things, especially because like the corded versus like, you know, wired versus wireless, that's a big thing, because I think the common consumer doesn't want to deal with like wires. Yeah. Like, you know, we've been using the internet so long without wires, I think people are kind of accustomed to that. And so my Oculus Rift headset is being worked on by my buddy who got it for me, that was helping him on with his stuff. And like my cord was just like insanely like just twisted and everything like that and bunched up in areas. And he's like, oh yeah, this is like common. Like you have to like replace. And it's like, all right, well, it's like, you don't necessarily like want to do that. Or at least right. Like the
consumer doesn't want to replace your Joy-Cons from drifting and shit. You know, you don't want to do that.
You don't want to deal with the inconvenience of that. So that's why I think the whole wired versus wireless thing, like how does that truly play out for people? And then also I think, with the PlayStation, I don't know if it's necessarily doubling down, but continuing to pursue with this VR2, is that their direct competition, i.e. Microsoft Nintendo, is not in this space.
Yeah.
So they can really attack it slightly more aggressively without fear of reprisal, you know, losing out to as much with their direct competition of Microsoft Nintendo. So that's interesting. But with this PSVR 2 coming out here, and the specs behind it, I mean, like I said, like we talked about specs, it looks great. Don't hold out hope that PlayStation is going to do a handheld anytime soon, because all that money looks like it was pumped into making this like a premium product, which is like cool. Like, you know, you don't really want to see them half-ass
right
a handheld or the VR, like go all in on one, and it looks like they have. So hopefully that excites people. But the handheld crowd out there, like, sorry, just keep playing your Vitas and keep going to Pornhub on that like you've been doing.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about it in the last episode. I hope more people go on and listen to episode 220 just for the fact that we talked about Pornhub video game trends for the year of 2021, and it was absolutely fantastic.
Yes, that's always a interesting part to end the year, for sure. Playground Games, the team behind Forza Horizon and the upcoming Fable reboot here, studio director Gavin Rayburn is leaving the company, and co-founder Trevor Williams is set to replace him. So shout out to Trevor for coming in, and then best of luck in future endeavors there for Gavin. CES 2022, that is the Consumer Electronics Showcase, happened the other week. That's where we got the PSVR 2 announcement and some of the Samsung TV announcements. But there were some other things. I like kind of checking into CES. I didn't as much this year just because, as Ryan knows, work's been hella crazy for me. So yeah. I haven't had a chance to help with the notes and all that stuff. But a lot of cool stuff. LG, they have some of the best OLED TVs on the market. If you are looking at an OLED TV, I would highly suggest looking at LG's. They got a great input lag, which is great for gamers. So like, not all TVs are built the same. So like, when you press the button, so if when you press A or X, whatever button is on your controller, each TV have a different lag from that controller press to it actually appearing on screen, the action happening. Not all TVs are built the same that way. LG's famously have very low input lags. So if you're a gamer, look out for that stuff. Or if you have questions, feel free to reach out to us and I will gladly answer any questions you may have on that. But LG is releasing their smallest ever OLED unit at 42 inches. So that's really, really cool. They were, I think the smallest before this was around 48, 49. So it's 42. So that's honestly great for gaming
for
there.
Gaming,
especially
yeah.
if you're doing a lot of fast Twitch, like i.e. Call of Duty shooters, something along those lines. 42-inch TV, it's going to be good there. Going to stay well within the peripherals. That's really nice. And now they're coming out with their largest ever OLED at 97 inches. So
damn.
If you just have a big old, you have a big old wall, and you got, you know, $10,000 burning a hole in your wall, you know, go ahead and get it.
Oh man, all these guys got those triple P loans. Here they come. God bless them.
Sony also announced the first ever quantum dot OLED TV, which is like, oh, you're saying BK, what's quantum dot? So most TVs use a three color spectrum, the RGB, red, green, blue. Quantum dot just adds the fourth, adds the yellow. So that's your answer to you there. And then the much rumored TCL OD0 Tech is finally slated to release later this year on their 8K and 4K sets. So that's what I've been personally waiting for, is their OD0 Tech on the TCLs. So I'm going to wait for the price points to come out on the smaller TVs. Like, they have like a giant 8K TV that's like 80 some odd inches, that's like 10 grand. It's like, okay, well, obviously I don't need, I just want something that's like 55.
Yeah, right. I'll be happy with a 55er. That's dope.
Yeah. And if I have to get a 65, I'll get over it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right.
I just want to see the OD Zero Tech, which essentially is just them getting the backlight closer to the screen itself. So you get less haloing on the picture of the TV, which like when you happens, with any LED, LCD set, even mini LED sets, is that you have the backlight behind the picture itself emitting. And so then you get a haloing around people when it's like a darker contrast scene, like when it's black, and then you get something like that's like red right in front of a black. Like when you pop up your Netflix, you see haloing around the Netflix logo. That's not intentional. That's the TV set. So it looks different on OLED TV because different. We'll get into that later. Razer announced the Zephyr Pro. It's an upgraded version of their mask, their N95 mask that they came out this year that like sold out, that they were releasing in waves. It was crazy. The Zephyr Pro is going to have a built-in voice amplifier now, so that's really cool. And it will set you back $150 for that bad boy. But in their defense, it looks cool, and it is reusable, so you can use it for a long time. And then you can buy the N95 cartridges to pop in there if you do plan on using it a whole bunch. So it is a lot of money, but you know, if you got to wear a mask all the time, like it looks like we're doing again, could work out for you.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Razor, at first I was like, oh man, we're getting out of the mask thing. Don't worry about it. I'm like, JK, Omicron, JK. All right, we're going back to mask. Cool. You know what else is cool? Another year, another in-person E3 event canceled. RIP. Looks like the E3 continue to fall to the point where it's just grasping for life at this point. So we will see. Obviously, you know, you have the Summer of Gaming event that's, you know, always just like, hey man, here's a bunch of different streams that are going to come out. I'm wondering if Jeff Keighley, like, I'm waiting for them to like eventually like just do their own summer E3 where it's just like an E3 event, but they're not going to call it E3. They'll call it something else. And you'll get all the publishers that want to be involved in it again. I'm just waiting for that. I think it's easier for that. I like that more than just the slow trickle of conferences, obviously. Again, though, we are still working in a pandemic, so it's a little bit harder to see how you can like get everybody organized to do one conference. A little bit harder. Not everybody's ready to show their stuff off just yet. So, yeah, we'll see. But that's not great for E3. That's not great at all.
No, and it sucks, you know. We did talk about this last year, you know, how, like, yeah, the slow trickle of news. And it's like you don't have the big, like, kind of like halfway summer event to get you real excited to go in for the rest of the year. So it's definitely this is a bummer. And I think you have a good idea of almost like rebranding it. So like almost change the name away from E3. I don't know. Like,
yeah, let somebody else do it. I don't know. I don't, whether it's Jeff Keighley or whoever, like just let him, you know, like I love his Summer of Gaming idea. I just think that if you were to start off your summer with an E3 event, whatever you want to name it, boom. And then you obviously have Gamescom in Europe at the end of the summer. That's cool too. Boom. Now you've set yourself up that you have three, we can look for three main shows for video games throughout the year, the beginning of the summer, the end of the summer, and then the end of the year in December for the Game Awards, obviously. I mean, that's fine. Like, I think that's cool. And then you allow Nintendo and PlayStation and all these other companies to do their little events in between throughout the year that we still get. Obviously, Nintendo Directs and PlayStation, damn, I cannot remember the name of their events, Showcase. You can still do that, but I do think it helps the game industry come together when you have these big, boom, pillar events, you know?
Yeah, well, and you even forgot another big gaming event in there, which I'm not disparaging you for that. The TGS, the Tokyo Game Show, that's another big one.
Yeah.
So like, but E3. Oh my gosh, now I'm forgetting the one that's not TGS. It's like completely left my mind.
Gamescom.
Gamescom. Thank you. Jeez, I don't know why. Like my brain was just like, no, forget
gone.
It. Gone. but like Gamescom and TGS and E3 all kind of happen within a few months of each other, and it is a little crazy if that somehow can be consolidated into like one, you know, event. That would be really cool. I know that's like logistically almost impossible because like one takes place in the US, one's usually in Germany, and the other's in Japan.
Yeah,
so it's like, but I don't know if you can get all the different like heads to like coordinate and do all that. I don't know. And but then you also have all the press that are just going to be stripped bare bones like between each one if you do have them all kind of happening simultaneously,
right?
It's interesting, but because the crazy part with all those events, they have to start planning now for those. Like, I mean, it's January and they have to start getting ready. That's why you heard the cancellation of in-person E3 right now. It's because that stuff, like when the calendar flips,
boom,
I mean,
we're ready to rock and roll.
They're already planning. They're like, okay, what are you gonna, they're already working on that stuff. So it's crazy that we're going to have another year without it, especially because, you know, we grew up with it. And that's...
Yeah, I mean, I remember last year, had the virtual one, right? Where they had stuff on there. I'm assuming it's the same thing again.
Just, you know, it was okay because Microsoft was still there. And Nintendo had a little something, but I don't think Sony did.
Sony hasn't been around since even before COVID, so I'll give them that.
Yeah, so it's... It's just kind of like a bummer, but hopefully, you know, next year, or even like I said, hopefully this virtual event, like, you know, Sony comes back and Nintendo does like a little bit more, you know, we'll see. I'm like, fingers are crossed for good things.
Yeah, we will definitely see what is to hold as we get closer to the summer this year. That does it for episode 221 for the AM Nation Pod, the first one of 2022. As always, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram. It's at AM Nation Pod. Follow us up on both of those. Also on TikTok, AM Nation Pod. Give us a follow on there as well. We appreciate it. You can find the show on podcast platforms such as Apple Podcasts and Spotify. On Spotify, if you would like to help support the show financially, you totally can. $5 subscription, $5 a month. Comes and helps to support the show on Spotify. We appreciate that. If you don't have any money to toss away, that's okay too. You can just go on Spotify, give us a 5-star review. We appreciate that. And obviously share it with a friend. That's always great as well. You can also use the Epic Games creator code, whether you're buying V-Bucks on Fortnite, playing Rocket League, or just going on the Epic Games store on their PC and buying whatever games you like. Just use the Epic Games creator code AMNationPod. No extra cost to you. Just helps kick back some to the show to help support the boys. Twitch.tv/UndeadBlackBulls, where you follow David. Give him a sub as well. If you have Amazon Prime, you get a free game, Twitch sub a month, so give it to Undead Black Bull. We mentioned the GG app. Continue to install that. Continue to use it. Make sure you go on there. It's going to be hectic, man. Everybody buckle up. These next couple of months are going to be hectic for video games, and so many things are coming out, and then so many more things will get announced later on. So make sure you have the GG app to help keep track of all the games you're playing, all the games you want to play, all the good stuff. You can make reviews on there. You can make lists. All fun on there. You can even follow us, AM Nation Pod, on there as well. Now, my favorite thing about the show has always been ending the show with the quote of the week. Obviously, if Junior and Dan aren't here, we don't do it. But I've decided that regardless, I'm going to start ending the shows this year with quotes. So, it's my favorite time of the week. The quote of the week here for episode 221. We stand upon the precipice of change. The world fears the inevitable plummet into the abyss. Watch for that moment. When it comes, do not hesitate to leap. It is only when you fall that you learn whether you can fly. Dragon Age 2. Everybody, be safe. Take care of yourselves. Do all that good stuff. Wash your damn hands. Watch out for the Decepticon variant out there, whatever's next. Be safe. See you later. See you next week. And as always, you stay breezy.